there, listeners. Welcome to episode 142 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. India won the third one-day international against Zimbabwe to win the three-match series 3-0 in Harare. This was their final hurdle before the 2022 Asia Cup. The hosts bowled effectively in the second game before giving India a serious worry in the dead rubber. They had been listless in the first match. For putting up a fight in the second part of the series, Zimbabwe may be pleased with themselves. India, on the other hand, will be somewhat appreciative of their effort since most of KL Rahul and his team's preparations came to fruition. Throughout the three games, the team demonstrated their capacity to perform under pressure while remaining clinical. Let's now talk about some crucial takeaways. India's bowling. Although Zimbabwe's batting unit is not one of the strongest, Indian bowlers had their job cut out and they did to the best of their abilities. The entire bowling department acted cohesively and staked their claim in all three games in Harare. Barring Shahbaz Ahmed, all eight bowlers featured in at least one match and picked one wicket in the series. While pacers Mohammad Siraj, Prasad Krishna and Deepak Chahar ran riot and showed their magic with the new ball, tweakers Kuldeep Yadav and Akshar Patel kept it tight in the middle phase and picked up nine wickets between them. Avesh Khan, who is also part of the Indian team for the Asia Cup, fared well in the only game he played, scalping three wickets in the last and the final ODI. The positive news for the men in blue ahead of their busy schedule for the next 4 months is that a successful tour of Zimbabwe has further improved the bowling department and it is for everyone to see. Deepak Chahar's return. Now, he made a sensational comeback to international cricket after a lengthy injury layoff which saw him miss more than 5 months of cricketing action. The Agra-born suffered a hamstring injury during a T20I game against the West Indies in February. The injury even ruled him out of the IPL 2022. However, making a comeback in the ODI series against Zimbabwe, Chahar displayed how effective and dangerous he can be with the new ball. The right-armer ran riot in the opening game and was awarded player of the match for his match-winning 3-for-27 up the order. After being rested for the second ODI, Chahar continued his impressive form and picked up two more wickets in the final ODI. Chahar's five wickets in the series is an exhibition of his wicket-taking abilities. If the 30-year-old is fit enough on time, he would have been one of the front-runners to be selected for the Asia Cup. Let's also talk about Shubman Gill. Now, what a fantastic year this is turning out to be for Shubman Gill. The youngster guided his IPL franchisee Gujarat Titans to their maiden title earlier this year before being adjudged as the player of the series in the ODI against the West Indies. Now, he carried his immaculate form from the Caribbean to the Zimbabwe and showed that he has everything that it takes to be a consistent all-round format player for India in the years to come. Oozing pristine class in each of his shots, Gill asserted his dominance against Zimbabwe bowlers throughout the series. Following his 82 not out and 33 in the first two fixtures, the Punjab lad notched up his elusive maiden century in the third ODI. Courtesy of his 15 elegant fours and a solitary maximum, Gill scored a magnificent 130 of 97 deliveries and finished up the series with 245 runs at an outstanding average of 122.5. In his brief career of 9 ODIs, Gill has showcased that he has the credentials of a potential great in 50 overs cricket. Having done well both as an opener and as a number 3 batter, Gill has certainly put his name forward for a slot in the T20 World Cup and potentially even the 50-over World Cup in India. Let's also talk about KL Rahul, the skipper, and how he failed to inspire. Shikhar Dhawan was initially named the captain of the Indian side for the Zimbabwe series, but the job went to KL Rahul once he regained full fitness and was recalled. Rahul, who led India for the first time this year when Kohli was out with an injury during the second South Africa test, was also the leader in their 0-3 drubbing against the Proteas in the ODIs. Though India won the series again under him, there were still plenty of question marks around his captaincy in Zimbabwe. It started with the first ODI when Rahul, who was also part of the Asia Cup squad this month, did not open the innings as the visitors were set a target of 190 to win. Having been away for close to 3 months, Rahul should have ideally given himself adequate game time in order to prepare for the multi-nation event in UAE. His selection changes, such as including Shardul Thakur in the playing 11 over Avesh Khan, who is also part of the Asia Cup side, was quite debatable. His bowling changes in the third ODI where he gave Deepak Hooda one over on a track that was already slow was puzzling. And though India did a complete whitewash in the end, doubts still remain whether KL Rahul is the best player to lead India forward in the future. Let's also talk about KL Rahul and where he's better suited. Now, prior to the series, Rahul hadn't played international cricket for over 6 months. Regardless, a lot was expected of him given his competence as a white ball cricketer. While there was little doubt about India's ability to win the series, all eyes were certainly on KL Rahul in the three-match series as the stand-in skipper, and he returned to competitive cricket since the end of 2022 IPL. Now, that's a long time span, right? With the Asia Cup just starting today, the Indian fans were certainly eager to see KL Rahul in action and hoped he could get some runs under his belt. However, Rahul did little to address those concerns as he did not go to bat in the first game. After promoting himself to open the innings, he managed to score just one in the second game. Rahul managed to play a total of 46 balls in the last game but just got a paltry 30 runs, which is concerning. Ruturaj Gaikwad and Rahul Tripathi warmed the bench for the series. Now, Ruturaj Gaikwad's numbers in List A certainly deserve a mention. He has scored 3,284 runs at an admirable average of 54.73 and a strike rate of 100.09. Nonetheless, the top order batter had to warm the bench for the entire series, which was unfortunate. Joining him in this party is Rahul Tripathi, who again wasn't given game time. Now, he wasn't even considered for the playing 11 in Ireland T20s despite that solid show in the IPL. Next up, Kuldeep Yadav back to being his vintage self. Now, it was heartening to see Kuldeep Yadav deliver the goods in the Zimbabwe one-dayers. The Chinaman was pretty economical on his ODI return after 6 months. He bagged figures of 0 for 36 in 10 overs, including a maiden, and he bagged 1 for 49 and 2 for 38 in the next two matches. It would have been a morale-boosting series for Kuldeep as he seeks a longer rope in limited overs cricket. Akshar maturing with each series. Now, Akshar Patel has posted clinical shows over the last few months. The Zimbabwe tour was no different as the slow left-arm orthodox emerged as the highest wicket taker, managing 6 wickets at 12.3. He is growing as a white ball specialist with each passing series, which is certainly good signs for Team India. Next up is Sanju Samson, who's gaining eyeballs with his clutch numbers. Now, Sanju Samson came up with a sensible 39-ball, 43 not out in the second ODI. The knock guided India into a 5-wicket win and helped the visitors take that unassailable 2-0 lead in the series. He's putting his clutch gene to notice. We could well see him feature in the India squad for the future ODI series, and he's certainly a player to watch out for. Let's also discuss India's wicket-keeping options at the moment. Now, international teams sometimes play with more than one keeper in their starting 11 and search for players who can play in two distinct roles. The selectors consider all variables including injuries and rest, as well as giving youngsters plenty of opportunities when choosing the team for the tour. There is no scarcity of wicket-keeper batters in India and there are many possibilities available. First-choice keeper Rishabh Pant has held this position for some time due to his excellent performances for India in all formats. In the limited overs format, the other three keepers are the major option. Dinesh Karthik is an excellent wicket-keeper in addition to being a finisher for the T20I team. In the ODI format, there is an option between the youthful Ishan Kishan and the versatile Sanju Samson. They have both played one excellent innings on the most recent Zimbabwe tour and both were rather respectable. For the first two games, Sanju kept the wickets and only committed one costly mistake. Ishan Kishan, on the other hand, was effective behind the stumps and kept wickets in the previous game. The decision over India's backup wicketkeeper may take, some time and thought, but given the amount of opportunities that Sanju Samson has missed, Ishan Kishan may have that upper hand. Is Shikhar Dhawan's strike rate an issue? Now, Shikhar Dhawan has been a long-standing servant of the Indian cricket team, but his strike rate in the last few months, along with Gill's emergence, casts doubt about his place in the side. In 2022, the left-hander has scored 542 runs at an average of 49.27 in 13 games, the fifth best among all batters with at least 500 runs, but with a strike rate of 76.33. Shai Hope is the only other batter from a full member country with at least 500 runs and a worse strike rate this year. Dhawan, age 36, is expected to be one of the openers for India in the 2023 ODI World Cup at home next year. And it is not without reason. Out of contention from the Test and T20I sides, Dhawan has been garnering runs in the 50-over format and averages over 50 since the resumption of cricket after the pandemic. He has always been a trusted performer in ICC events, and in World Cups, he averages 53.7 with 300s from 10 games, which increases to 77.88 in the Champions Trophy. However, with the event being staged in India next year and the men in blue not having a shortage of openers, it remains to be seen if Dhawan, who will be 37 then, will be the best bet for Team India. Let's now take the discussion to the Asia Cup preview for Team India. For a tournament which attracts the most passionate and obsessive set of cricket fans, the Asia Cup is more than just a multilateral tournament. Thanks to the ever-changing geopolitical scenarios in the subcontinent, couple that up with a highly packed cricket calendar, an India-Pakistan outing is said to be the oasis in the desert for all the fans of the sport. Team India has completely altered their style of playing. Now they've adopted an aggressive style. For a long time, India had been criticized for how they approach the shortest format of the game. But as of now, it feels like they will continue with their aggressive gameplay, both in the Asia Cup and in the World Cup that will be played in Australia later this year. A lot has happened over the last 12 months for the men in blue. Least to say, a change in leadership and coaching. From a team which undermined its own potential by endorsing a highly defensive brand of cricket and being timid in the previous edition of the World T20, the Indians have been a force to reckon with. Since their dubious run in UAE in the last World T20 in November, India has been ticking all potential boxes for success. With a jaw-dropping tally of 19 wins in 25 T20Is, including a dominant series win in England and West Indies, India are all set to roll their juggernaut in the upcoming Asia Cup. As skipper Rohit Sharma recently pointed out, around 90% of the squad picks itself, with only the fine-tuning aspects now left. The injury to ace pacers Jasprit Bumrah and Harshal Patel are a colossal blow for the defending champions, and the reliable duo are now against the race of time to prove their fitness for the mega event in Australia. Having named a strong 15-member squad and a 3-member reserve setup, it's completely justifiable to assert that India is well on their course to complete their hat-trick of Asia Cup titles. While we're at it, let's do a SWOT analysis for Team India. Let's kickstart with strengths. Now, run machine KL Rahul's return to the setup is a big relief, as the elegant right-hander remains India's best run accumulator in the format. However, India's newly aggressive approach right from the offset should suit the Lucknow Supergiant skipper. Rahul is no stranger to providing the fireworks in this format, and a career strike rate of 142 is just a testament to the fact. With skipper Rohit Sharma at the top, who has the best T20I strike rate for an opener this year, India can be assured of some good runs being scored in the power play. While question marks exist over the form and striking ability of Virat Kohli, the presence of Surya Kumar Yadav in the middle order will be a genuine plus for India. The ICC number 2 ranked T20I batsman has really shown his prowess and has batted across positions. He's tasted success even as an opener in the Caribbean, which really goes to show how consistent he has been. However, it was his heartwarming and racing ton while batting at 4 in Nottingham in the third T20I against England, which was so reassuring. In Surya Kumar Yadav, India has the world's most versatile T20I batter who can genuinely bat anywhere and take his team through. The Mumbai star has also been a handy finisher in the past, during his stint with the two-time champions KKR. With respect to the finishing department, Dinesh Karthik handpicked a swashbuckling IPL. He has done more than just a satisfactory job. The veteran, part of the inaugural World T20 winning team, has picked up 2 Man of the Match awards so far in his latest run with the national team. There will be a clear contest between him and Rishabh Pant, as in all likelihood only one of them will start in the playing 11. Another advantage for the Rohit Sharma-led outfit lies in the presence of Yuzi Chahal. The leggy, who was shockingly left out of the previous edition of the T20 World Cup, has not just knocked on the door but broken it down with his performances for Team India. Since his comeback, Chahal has picked up 16 wickets in 13 games at an outstanding economy rate of 7.06. To add to his credentials, the tweaker was on complete fire in England as he played a crucial role in the team's success. Thereby, with conditions likely to assist him, and this is against arch-rivals Pakistan, a team with genuine weakness against leg spin, Chahal could be more than just a handful. weaknesses. While no apparent weakness is evident in the side, the absence of Bumrah and Harshal Patel will surely be a vicious hurdle. The onus now falls on the ever-experienced Bhuvneshwar Kumar to lead the bowling unit. Surprisingly for Kumar, this year he has stayed injury-free and was India's best performer since the IPL. With back-to-back Man of the Series trophies against South Africa and England, a lot depends on Bhuvi against the ever-unswerving pair of Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan. The pace battery for the men in blue looks limited with the selections made. Though Bhuvi's recent form is unquestionable, the same cannot be said with authority about the inconsistent Avesh Khan. Backed for the multilateral tournament, Avesh will have to be at his best against this quality T20I team, Pakistan. The lanky Arshdeep Singh is also a welcome addition to the setup, as the left-arm seamer is fresh from the Man of the Series title in the Caribbean. It will be very interesting to watch how the 2018 ICC Under-19 World Cup winner fares. To sum the pros and cons of this unit, one can safely say that the absence of Bumrah and Patel will be a major blow, and this would add tremendous pressure to the pace battery to deliver, and it will be interesting to see how it goes about. Opportunities. If there was one distinct X factor about this team, then it would surely be in the flamboyant Hardik Pandya. The 2022 IPL winning skipper has been on cloud 9 this year and has effortlessly translated his IPL success into international cricket. With the ball, Pandya is Rohit's go-to man in the middle overs, as his street-smart variations coupled with pinpoint accuracy has been a boon for many skippers. His own move to bat up the order in the IPL and bowling in those crucial phases has certainly evolved him as a cricketer. The Baroda star thrives on responsibilities delegated to him, and in the middle order, he has that ability to decimate any bowling attack on a given day. Even in the event of a top order collapse, Pandya can be a very trusted man to, you know, script a turnaround, as seen in South Africa in that fourth T20I in June. Going full throttle at 100% fitness, Pandya is set to be the defining force for Team India, and it won't be surprising if in the end he turns out to be the difference between the defending champions of the Asia Cup and the other teams. While he may go under the radar, undetected R. Ashwin has efficiently outfoxed his competitors for the spot of that second spinner. After a breakthrough IPL season for the Rajasthan Royals, where he contributed ably with the bat, the veteran offie offers a dynamic punch to the team. Someone who is more than handy to bat at 8, Ashwin can bowl with the new ball as well. His control and ability to outthink batters is key. In the clash against Pakistan, Ashwin's head-to-head encounter with his 2017 ICC Champions Trophy final nemesis Fakhar Zaman will certainly be a match-defining outing. With the World T20 around the corner, the champion off-spinner will be eager to prove a point or two. With the X-factor individuals like Hardik Pandya, Ravi Ashwin, Arshdeep Singh, India certainly has the services of some able enforcers who can turn defeat into victory on any given day. Let's also factor in the threats. Now, volatility is something T20 cricket is defined by entirely. To add to that, a profusely unpredictable side like Pakistan, India certainly has to be on their toes throughout. The wounds of 24th October 2021 are still fresh in the hearts of us, as Shaheen Afridi, Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan turned their tides on the Indians. Not just Pakistan, a resurgent Sri Lankan unit is one that India definitely has to be wary of. It must be remembered that India's last T20I series defeat was against Sri Lanka itself, though albeit COVID caused havoc in India's camp. The presence of some global T20 franchise superstars makes Afghanistan yet another dangerous opposition. Fresh from a series of defeats against Ireland, Afghanistan will be itching to leave an impression, and they did so with that crucial win against Sri Lanka in the very first game of this Asia Cup. The presence of mercurial yet inexperienced T20I outfits against India would always be a threat. In none of the games can the men in blue afford complacency. Couple that up with Virat Kohli's indifferent form and a ton of media spotlight on the team, the margin for error is absolutely minimal, and India will be looking to come out on top. With this, we draw curtains on the episode that served as a review of the series versus Zimbabwe and thoughts on the squad selected by India for the Asia Cup. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support throughout. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcast for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverInTheBackFoot on Twitter for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.